Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's the fourth day of action at the Women's World Cup football tournament in France. Nigeria and South Africa began their World Cup campaigns over the weekend with losses to European opponents. Joining us with more details is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. South Africa's first Women's World Cup appearance got off to a bad start after suffering a 3-1 defeat to Spain. Vanyana struck first in the 25th minute thanks to a curler from African Women's Football of the Year Tembi Hatlana, before Jennifer Hermoso scored on two penalty kicks to double the lead. Substitute Lucia Garcia added Spain's third goal in the 89th minute. Former champions Norway kicked off their Women's World Cup campaign with a routine 3-0 victory over Nigeria, despite the absence of Ballon d'Or winner Ada Hegerberg. The 1995 world champions, who have also qualified for every FIFA Women's World Cup since the tournament's inception, took the lead when Guro Reitan's shot deflected off Onome Ebi into the net. Lisa Marie fired through the hands of keeper Tochukwu Oluwehi to make it 2-0, before an own goal by Osinachi Ohale compounded Nigeria's misery. Norway are currently level on 3 points with host France, who earned a 4-0 win against South Korea in their opening Group A fixture. Germany defeated China 1-0, while England also defeated their longtime rival Scotland 2-1. Brazilian superstar Cristiano Ronaldo became the oldest player in World Cup history to record a hat-trick, and only the 9th player in the history of the tournament to score 10 career goals in the event, as Brazil defeated the Reggae Girls of Jamaica 3-0 in their first Group C match.
Prince, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to 34-year-old Cristiano for her hat-trick against the Reggae Girls. Taking a look at Monday's Women's World Cup matches, Prince, I see Canada plays Cameroon in their first ever meeting in any capacity at the senior level.
That's right, Sonny. Cameroon is relatively new to the Women's World Cup stage. They've only had one prior appearance in the competition in 2015. And truth be told, Sonny, Canada stands favorites as far as this fixture is actually concerned, and since they entered the competition ranked 5th in the world, while Cameroon is ranked 46th. It should also be noted that Cameroon pulled a surprise and finished 11th in its World Cup debut in 2015, advancing to the round of 16. Canada earned a 3-2 win over Cameroon at the 2016 Under-17 Women's World Cup. And what people should know is that 4 Canadian players from that youth team are actually on this World Cup roster. They're going to be playing in this particular match against Cameroon. It should also be known that Cameroon has the third oldest team at the tournament with an average of 28 years, and they will be banking on this particular experience as they get into this particular fixture. Only the Americans and Brazilians have an older side.
Prince, let's switch to the Africa Cup of Nations tournament, which kicks off June 21st in Egypt. Were there any results from the weekend in AFCON warm-up matches?
Right on, Sonny. Tottenham Hotspur midfielder Victor Wanyama converted from the spot to earn Kenya's Harambee Stars a 1-0 victory against Madagascar in a pre-African 2019 friendly match played in Paris, France. The Uganda Cranes were also held to a goalless draw by Turkmenistan in a friendly match played in Abu Dhabi's New York University Stadium, while the Black Stars of Ghana were given a wake-up call following a surprising 1-0 defeat to Namibia at the Jebel Ali Center of Excellence grounds in Dubai. Defending champions Cameroon edged Zambia 2-1, while the Elephants of Ivory Coast thrashed Comoros 3-1.
Prince, 3 years after conquering European soccer for the first time, Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo are celebrating yet another international title.
That's right, Sonny. Portugal became the first team to win UEFA's Nations League competition after beating the Netherlands 1-0 to lift its first trophy since the 2016 European Championship. Ronaldo, coming off a hat-trick in the semi-finals against Switzerland, lifted the winner's trophy, but wasn't much of a factor in the final, with the only goal coming from midfielder Gonçalo Guedes early in the second half. Portugal are the first European nation to host and win a final of a major competition since France beat Brazil 3-0 in the finals of the 1998 World Cup. England's keeper Jordan Pickford also scored and saved in a shootout as they beat Switzerland 6-5 on post-match penalties to finish third in the tournament. Sonny, talking about Cristiano Ronaldo, it seems like Real Madrid has finally found his replacement after agreeing a deal to sign Eden Hazard from Chelsea for a fee that would exceed $190 million. The Belgian, who scored 110 goals in 352 games for Chelsea after joining from Lille in 2012, will sign a five-year contract and is expected to be presented as a Real Madrid player on June the 13th. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more Women's World Cup news, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori caught up with Nigeria's three-time African Women's Footballer of the Year, Asisat Ashola, after the 3-0 loss to Norway in Reims, France. And Kwabena asked her about the performance by the Super Falcons of Nigeria.
Basically, it was just mere errors from our team, and the three goals we conceded, it wasn't from anything tactical from Norwegian team. It was just mere errors from us, and we were punished for our mistakes.
You started strongly during the beginning of the first half. Then you were playing good game, tactically you are okay, but all of a sudden, the team became very sluggish. What do you think was the cause of all this?
Well, basically, for me, I just felt like sometimes, you know, there's a lot of power in goals. When the other team get goals, it seems to, like, demoralize the oppositional team, you know. I think that was what happened. And then, but in the second half, it was a lot better. We kept the ball more. We were able to play and create a few chances, but it was just too late because we had three goals down already.
You have a game with the Koreans. How are you going to make the difference? Because you need points.
The game against Norway is passed now. Now we have to think of how to play against South Korea. Very good team as well, tactically sound. When we go back, we get back to our drawing board and see what we can do.
Is your confidence still there?
Of course. We have two more games in our group, so obviously we still have a chance to qualify.
That's Nigerian striker Asisat Ashola, and she spoke with Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Reims, France. Now let's go to Asaba, Nigeria, where Nigeria's Super Eagles played to a scoreless draw with the Warriors of Zimbabwe over the weekend in a friendly warm-up match for the Africa Cup of Nations tournament. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Asaba.
Super Eagles captain John Mikel Obi marked his return to the national team with international friendly against the Warriors of Zimbabwe. Mikel showed his skills and fitness in a rain-soaked encounter. Mikel's move in the fifth minute could have been Nigeria's first goal as his pass to Denmark-based forward Paul Onuachu ended with a side netting shot. The Warriors also had the chance to score in the 22nd minute, but Captain Knowledge Musoma's shot flew over the woodwork. In the second half, Warriors South Africa-based forward Kama Biliad and Nyasa Mushekwi missed scoring opportunities. Nigeria's Ahmed Musa and Samuel Chukwueze's crosses from the wings could not be connected by the forwards. Zimbabwe coach Sunday Chizambga says the Warriors have learned some lessons from the international friendly.
I think I've learned a lot of things in the Super Eagles. The best thing I learned today was the way they support the ball carrier and the way they move around the ball, keeping possession. They were very good. So, as I said, I mean, earlier when we were in a learning curve, I learned something. I think from here we're going to Egypt and then we're going to settle, do our training there and up until the game starts. So, it's a good rest for us and we have enough time to train and settle for the first game.
Kizambga says the Warriors will try to get past the group stages of the AFCON tournament.
Both countries want to qualify, so as on our part, we are going to try hard and get past the group stages. Since we started this African campaign, we haven't gone past the group stages, but we are going to try hard for us to get past the group stages. But I think the Super Eagles are in an easier group. They are the seeded team, and I think with their play, they're going to go past the group stages.
Nigeria's coach, Gernot Rohr, says the match was used to reintegrate team captain Mikel Obi and a good test for his side.
Our team had some opportunities to score a goal. We did not, but today our objective was to reintegrate our captain, to find our complicity in the game, not to concede a goal also. The foundations must be solid, was the case in the defense. Even if some of our players are missing, like Ndidi, like Sheu, like Ekong in the first half, Musa, we saw a lot of good things, and I'm very happy about this match because it was a good test for us.
This is Mike Mbonye for the Sunny Side of Sports in Asaba, Nigeria.
Thanks, Iron Mike. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, let's give Sunny Side of Sports salutes to Rafael Nadal of Spain and Ashley Barty of Australia, who won the men's and women's singles titles at the French Open. Joining us now with that story is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings. Sonny, they don't call him the King of Clay for nothing. Rafa Nadal defeated Austrian Dominic Thiem to clinch a record-breaking 12th French Open title. This marks the first time in tennis history a player has lifted a dozen trophies in any single tour level event. This is the 18th major for Nadal, and he sits just two behind Roger Federer and his 20 title record. But Nadal says chasing Federer is not important.
Being honest, I never complain myself much, and I never try to think about, well, I gonna catch Roger or not, or I am not very worried about this stuff. No, you can't be frustrated all the time because the neighbor has a bigger house than you, or a bigger TV, or you know, or better garden. That's not the way that I see the life, you know. And I just try to do my way. I feel very lucky about all the things that are happening to me. And if at the end of my career I am able to win a couple of more Grand Slams and be closer to Roger, will be unbelievable. If not, for me, still unbelievable. No, and for me, win Roland Garros, feel myself enjoying again on court, that's the main thing. No, then what can happen in the future, we will see.
Nadal mentioned his injuries, and he certainly has had his share throughout his career and over the past two seasons. He also reportedly suffered knee problems in the run-up to the French Open tournament. But Nadal says it's because of those injuries that makes winning at Roland Garros so special.
Even if it had been a great year in terms of tennis, level of tennis, because I played nine events and I only was able to finish seven tournaments in the whole year and finish like world number one and give me a chance to win here last year and in Wimbledon very close. The US Open I had to retire too. So a lot of issues, and then at the end of the season with the knee, then I had to do surgery on my foot. And this beginning of the season in terms of level of tennis have been positive, but again, some issues. Too many issues the last 18 months, so that makes these last few weeks very, very special.
Nadal is still ranked number two in the world, just behind Serbian Novak Djokovic, but he's now in a strong position to make a run for his fifth year-end finish at the top of the ATP rankings. And he remains the player to beat on clay. His opponent Dominic Thiem entered the finals just 24 hours after ending Novak Djokovic's major title winning streak in the semifinals. Thiem held his ground early in the championship match, but as it wore on, Nadal upped his game and Thiem simply ran out of steam. Later, he described winning the semis and finishing as runner-up as going from, quote, heaven to hell.
Yesterday was one of my biggest victories in my career, for sure. And that's a unique and also brutal thing, I guess, in our sports, in tennis, that I won six amazing matches. I beat yesterday one of the biggest legends of our game, and not even 24 hours later, I have to step on court against another amazing legend of our game, against the best clay court player of all time. And that also shows how difficult nowadays it's to win a Grand Slam. And that's what I meant yesterday. I was feeling so happy, so with such a good win. And today, of course, I lost. I failed to make my biggest dream in my tennis life come true. So I don't feel that good like yesterday.
Meanwhile, it was a Barty party on the women's side. Australian Ashley Barty defeated Czech Markéta Vondrousová to claim her first Grand Slam singles title. And Barty said the win capped off an incredible French Open tournament.
It's been an incredible couple of weeks, that's for sure. I think any time that I can play my brand of tennis, I know that I can match it against the best in the world. And for the last fortnight, the stars have aligned for me. I've been able to play really good tennis when I've needed it, and this is just incredible. I never dreamt that I'd be sitting here with this trophy here at the French Open. And I mean, obviously we have dreams and you know, and goals as children, but this is incredible.
Her dreams of winning a title were put on hold in 2014 when she quit tennis altogether to play professional cricket. Barty returned to the sport almost 2 years later, ranked 623rd in the world. She now sits at number 2, and that ranking is the highest for an Australian woman since Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley was ranked number 1 in 1976. So much history was made at this year's French Open tournament. We'll have more sporty news to come. Sonny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association finals resume later Monday night in Toronto, Canada. That's where the Toronto Raptors can clinch their first NBA title if they can beat the defending champion Golden State Warriors. The Raptors produced a strong third quarter to beat the Warriors last week, 105-92, in Game 4 of the Best of 7 series, and take a 3-1 lead. With that, I'm going to pass the ball to my VOA colleague Steve Miller to give us a preview of tonight's game. Sporty greetings, Steve.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. While the first half of Friday's Game 4 belonged to the Warriors of Golden State, the tide turned to the Great White North in the third quarter, when the visitors outscored the two-time defending champions 37-21 behind 5-for-7 shooting and two momentum-swinging three-pointers from Kawhi Leonard. Leonard told reporters after the game on Friday that the Raptors' win was attributed in part to perseverance.
It's not over yet, so I can't say that we're better. You know, just the key to tonight's win was pretty much, as you guys know, playing defense. And, you know, towards that second half, we started to make some shots. And we just pretty much stuck into the game, stayed in the game.
Golden State Warriors power forward Draymond Green didn't mince words either about Friday's results and the shifting tide.
This sucks, you know. Sucks really bad. You know, you just trying to do whatever you can to change it, you know, to get a stop, you know, get a bucket, get some momentum. Every time we did, you know, they answered, you know, so, yeah, it sucked a lot, but can't get it back now.
The Raptors point guard Kyle Lowry pointed out that his team's third win on Friday does not a champion make, but it's the first team to four victories that secures the title. He also cautioned against writing off the defending champions.
They're not going to go out easy. They're going to come and fight and prepare to play the next game, and that's how we're preparing ourselves. Like, we have to, you know, we got to prepare ourselves to play the next game. You know, we haven't done anything yet.
For their part, the Warriors also did themselves no favors during the game, turning over the ball 19 times, missing 7 free throws, and making less than 30% of their three-point attempts. After a spectacular 47 points in Game 3, Warriors guard Stephen Curry struggled on Friday, shooting just 9 of 22 from the field and making 2 of his 9 three-point attempts. Despite being down 3-1, Curry told reporters last week not to count them out just yet.
We try to win every game we play. I mean, you don't succeed the way we have over the course of these years without that mentality. So, you know, as the second half unfolds and things aren't going our way, you know, we're still, like we said, fighting and trying to, you know, get over the hump. But, you know, until the final buzzer sounds and somebody gets the 4 wins, we still, you know, have life and have an opportunity to win. So, like Clay said, nobody's going to feel sorry for us at all. It's just a matter of, can we get it done or not? And we're going to leave it all out there.
The only team to overcome a 3-1 deficit in the NBA Finals was the LeBron James-led Cleveland Cavaliers, who just happened to beat the Warriors in 2016. Game 5 tips off tonight in Toronto at 1 a.m. UTC. That's going to do it for me, Sonny. Back to you.
Thanks, Steve. That's my VOA colleague, Steve Miller. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to African athletics, it was a historic race Sunday at the Comrades Ultra Marathon in South Africa, where local favorite Gerda Stein crushed the previous women's record for an uphill run in the 87-kilometer event. Now, Comrades alternates between an uphill and downhill route each year, and this year it was an uphill year. Stein posted the 4th best time ever for either route while demolishing the uphill record by more than 10 minutes. The South African athlete also was the first woman to complete the uphill course in under 6 hours. After finishing in 2nd place in the 2018 race, Gerda Stein certainly earned redemption this year. No records were broken on the men's side, but it featured a much closer race. Edward Matibi edged defending champion and fellow South African Bongmusa Mthembu by 25 seconds. The top foreign finishers were Japan's Nao Kazami, who was 3rd among the men, and Russia's Alexandra Morozova, who was 2nd among the women. Overall, more than 16,000 of the 19,070 runners who began the race crossed the finish line before the strict 12-hour cutoff. Next year's downhill race at the Comrades Ultra Marathon is sure to bring even more excitement. Track and Field's world governing body is changing its name from the International Association of Athletics Federations to World Athletics. IAAF President Sebastian Coe says the rebranding is part of a plan to attract a younger audience. Meanwhile, Russia's ban from international track and field was extended over concerns it is backsliding on doping reforms. The IAAF refused to lift the ban at a council meeting this past weekend, although Russia had made a long-awaited payment of $3.2 million to cover costs of monitoring its compliance with anti-doping rules. The head of the IAAF's Russia Task Force, Rune Anderson, is concerned that banned coaches are allegedly still working with athletes. He also wants to wait for an investigation into whether Russian officials supplied fake medical documents to give an athlete an alibi in a doping case. And that wraps up the June 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is James Butte, managing editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the CEOs of Kenya and South African Airways have announced their resignations. Does this signal a lack of progress for African airlines? Africa's airline woes on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
Close to 4,000 confirmed extrasolar or exoplanets have been discovered so far. Many of them have names like Gliese 876b, HD 75289b, or GQ Loopy b. Most would agree that these are some pretty stuffy and boring-sounding names for planets. The International Astronomical Union, or IAU, wants to change that and give exoplanets and their host stars popular names. So, to celebrate its 100th anniversary, the IAU is reaching out to countries around the world in hopes that they'll organize campaigns that will give the public a chance to vote for their favorite exoplanet names. The organization says that so far almost 100 countries have signed up to be a part of the IAU 100 Name Exo Worlds global campaign. To learn more, visit nameexoworlds.iau.org. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.